Hello, everyone, and welcome to Basic Binges, part of Nom Talk Network. On this show, we review popular shows while eating and drinking our binge-worthy snacks and drinks. If you're watching live, don't forget to redeem those channel points. Please be nice to me. It's been a while, so I have to like get introduced to everything. If you don't know who I am, my name is Joan Orozco, and I have already had my dinner. I had a wonderful vegan Hawaiian burger. It was like two tempeh patties with some pineapple, some garlic aioli, and some barbecue sauce on top of all of that. And it was really good. I had half of it. And as well as some old fashions, just to kind of like get the night started. Oh, and River the Nom Talk cat has just introduced herself into the room. So we'll see if she comes up. But it's good to see you all. Good to see you all again. I know some of us are traveling. Some of us are at some wonderful and amazing places. I am clearly here in Avatar Land, as you can see, with Team Avatar behind me. So it's good to see you all. Let's start with Ada. Good to see you again. So excited
Hi.
To talk about episodes 4 through 6. What are you nomming on? If you're nomming on anything, what are you doing?
Not really nomming right now, but I am drinking Baja Blast, if that counts,
Yes!
in a solo cup. So no alcohol yet, but it's good enough
I
for
love
me.
Love Baja Blast. Favorite. Staple. Taco Bell. Right?
Never had Baja Blast until they came out in cans.
That's interesting. Yeah, I like when Baja Blast first came out, I was at Taco Bell and it's been a staple. Now they have a freeze and all that stuff. And now they have different ones. So yay, I'm glad.
Try the freeze. It's delicious.
It's so good.
Ooh.
So good. Hello to Eric. You are at a wonderful and amazing place today. Where are you and what are you nomming on?
I am live on location from Vegas. I am not nomming on anything because I had to eat earlier because obviously I'm in Vegas and that's important. But I have this lovely, lovely yard drink that I'm going to be sipping on while you guys are, or while we're reviewing this. So congratulations.
That's going to be a treat. I'm excited. Let's
it's
do
delicious.
It.
It's creamsicle.
So. Ooh, favorite. And then, hello, Jasmine. Good to see you again. Wonderful, amazing. What are you nomming on? If you're nomming on anything, what's going on?
I'm waiting for my order. So I'm trying out the spot in Long Beach. It's really, really cute. It'd be adorable for like a date night or like a bestie night. It has like, it's a porch that like opens up and you just go up to the window, like very old school vibe burger joint. And it's a smash burger. So smash burgers have like next to no veggies. And then it's usually like the burger, the cheese, like kind of the classic style burger you probably hadn't liked as a kid. And the ground beef patty is smashed down. So it's not, it's not thick. So it's great. Cheese, old school, like the bun looks like a bun. So it's like fluffy, when you grab it, it's not smashed. And they have shakes and fries and all this fun stuff. So yeah, it's called Window in Long Beach. And I'm excited. I've had it once before, so I'm excited to have it again. I just ordered something different this time. So just a classic burger.
I love that. Yes, I love that. I'm always up for promoting local haunts and eats and eateries. I have this local smash burger place by us, and I live in Pasadena, so in Highland Park. It's called Gold Burger. Definitely amazing. They're awesome. They do smash burgers, and their sauces and cheese. It's
like
amazing. It's like,
chef's
yeah,
kiss.
It's like sexual. I don't know what it is, but it's just sexual. That's all I can describe it as. Yes, well, it's so good to have you on again since last week. And if any of you haven't known or don't have a clue of what we're talking about, we are going to be talking about episodes 4 through 6 of Netflix's Avatar, The Last Airbender. I don't know about you, but one of the best and one of the worst episodes is in this like slot like thing for me. So I'm really excited to talk about these episodes. But before we start, I want to give a shout out to two things. The first is Happy International Women's Day. Thank you, Ada. Thank you, Jasmine, if you identify as female. And our producer staff, thank you all so much for being wonderful, amazing, beautiful people in this industry and then in the geekdom and the nerddom and doing everything that you do. We also appreciate all of the females in our lives. I know I do, my mom and all those that have gotten me through my life, right? Like that have supported me. So definitely happy International Women's Day. Secondly, We are still fundraising for the Trevor Project. If you don't know what the Trevor Project is, it is a project that started by helping youth that are thinking about committing suicide in the queer community, and helping them get through all of that. They have expanded exponentially throughout the entire United States. They hire constantly, so if you want to work for them, look out for their jobs. But we are still fundraising for that. So if you want to donate to them, please look in our link in our bio, or search Trevor Project on Google, and you're more than happy to donate to them. So please, please, please donate to that wonderful cause. That being said, moving on. So let's get into it. Let's start talking about episode four, right? So this episode was named Into the Dark. This was probably my favorite episode out of the entire series, because there was so much nostalgia and there was so much shit that happened, right? Aang basically, at the end of episode three, we see Aang get captured by the Earthbenders, and basically gets taken to the Earthbender police or the Earthbender prison within Omashu. And we get that sort of like dark, we get those green crystal lights, which I loved, in the anime. And we get the first scene with Aang talking to Uncle Iroh, which is definitely pivotal to the entirety of like how Zuko becomes, you know, entrenched in Aang's gang and all that stuff. And so I really like this because we sort of get our first interaction between why Aang, like wondering why Aang or Zuko is after Aang, and sort of Uncle Iroh explaining why this is going on, right? The thing that killed me, and I texted Eric, or I messaged Eric, was when Leaves from the Vine started playing, immediately started tearing up. Immediately was just crying, was just crying. And he's like, no, but, and I was like, no, I can't right now. So then we move forward. We fast forward to basically Aang gets put forward to the Earthbending King. And we don't know who he is, even though we actually kind of do. Turns out that it is Aang's old childhood friend, Bumi, who basically becomes the king of Omashu. You know, things are happening, this, that, and the third. And then basically Bumi decides that Aang needs to get thrown a feast. Long story short, everybody's there, everybody's vibing. Wait, sorry, my bad. Katara and Sokka are not, are with them or not with them? Yeah, they're not with them, right? And so Aang's eating, Aang's doing all this. They talk. Meanwhile, we have Katara and Sokka going through sort of like the underbelly of Omashu, right? Where they meet the Tunnel Gang, right? Like where we've sort of got introduced them. And I agree with Eric, and this is something that we sort of were talking about on the side, that this was a character that stuck true, and all these characters that stuck true to sort of like their character in the anime. And I was really happy to see them portrayed in this, right? And they are the ones that explain to Sokka and Katara that, you know, they're there to just vibe for the acoustics, but also these aren't the tunnels that they're looking for. And so they direct them sort of in the way to do that. These are not the tunnels you're looking for. Meanwhile, fast forward, Aang, Bumi basically challenges Aang to a fight and a confrontation. And they end up battling each other. And basically, Bumi's, as we know, Bumi's trying to teach Aang a lesson. Aang doesn't understand why Bumi's doing this. All this stuff is going on. Fast forward to Sokka and Katara, they encounter the Badger Moles, which we sort of like have learned and saw. And I'm really happy about this sort of thing in this episode. And basically they find out that Badger Moles can't see, they can only feel with sort of what they smell and what they like, you know, how they have become the first earthbenders, which what was explained by the Tunnel Gang, right? Like they sort of explain that this was the entire story behind it. And then Katara basically figures out that the Badger Moles, you know, can sense that. And so they basically befriend them to kind of like find their way out of the tunnels. We end sort of the episode with we also see Uncle Iroh get captured by the Earth Kingdom. We see this interaction between one of the Earth Benders that are like traveling with him, saying that like that he holds Uncle Iroh accountable for killing and like doing all these things that happened. Zuko comes to Uncle Iroh's defense, and they basically escape. And then Aang basically, Katara and Sokka basically come out, help Aang sort of defeat Boomy. Boomy thinks they cheated. He didn't. And basically, he convinces Boomy that his friends are going to help him become the avatar that he needs to be, and it's not a lonely job. Boomy then explains that the Fire Nation are coming to Omashu and that there's a battle that's going to ensue. So that's sort of how we end episode 4. That was a long-winded explanation. So let's go to you, Eric, first. What did you think about episode 4 and what happened in this one?
So I do want to preface this. I do like the series and overall, but this is really like where I started to have issue as well, and started to notice like with Boomy, even though he was a jokester, and I did like the actor that they picked for him and everything, it almost seemed like the joy and the fun that they had in the episode with him and Aang and their friendship and everything was all taken out. He was way more serious. Plus, also, Secret Tunnel was not until season 2, even though I loved hearing Secret Tunnel and the whole story and everything like that. It's they're pulling stuff from other seasons. This episode was okay for me. It was one of the better ones. But it was still like, I don't know the direction they think they're going as of yet in this first season, especially with this episode, because they're just adding stuff and changing it to where it doesn't need to be. But like I said, loved Boomy, the character, the actor, the character actor did a fantastic job. The like you said, the troupe of musicians and everything who sang Secret Tunnel was probably the best casting and acting in accordance with the actual anime and TV show that I've seen in this entire series. With the relationship between the talk between Iroh and Aang at the beginning of it, I do enjoy that. I am in liking what they're doing with Iroh, especially him and Zuko. I'm loving that whole relationship and that they're building it early on and showing and letting us care for him earlier than we did in the cartoon. So I'm enjoying that. I just have issue with them bringing in other stuff and kind of compacting it when they don't need to. So.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like a point to say to like what you just said, that they're introducing stuff that like we're used to seeing in like the second season, right? Into this first season. And I think this is going to be a non-traditional Avatar experience for those that are sort of immersed in that world, right? Because I think I read somewhere I was like the original like anime like the cartoon was only 3 seasons. Like it wasn't that long. And like for them to like incorporate all of this into it, like especially at the second season, I'm like, so how are you going to expand on this, right? Like how are you going to add to the conversation? Because they just got renewed for 2 more seasons. So I'm like, yeah. So I'm like, what's going to happen at this point? So that's a really good point. Let's go to you, Jasmine. What did you think about, oh, sorry, you're eating, but what did you think about episode 4 and like what happened in there?
So, exactly. I have the same feeling about it. I'm not happy, and I'll tell you why. Toph is my favorite Avatar character. And the Badger Moles was introduced right before introducing her,
Yeah.
because that episode was proving this kind of foretelling of what's to happen, and also this introduction of Toph by the Badger Moles, because Toph is, and this is a spoiler alert, so mute me for the next 5 seconds, she's blind. So the Badger Moles are similar to her in that regard. And so I'm kind of like, well, and it's so funny because a lot of Avatar fans who haven't watched it a million times like me, how we're like, where's Toph? Where's Toph? Oh my God, where's Toph? And I'm like, she's season 2. But the Badger Moles are season 2. So what are we doing here? Because we don't get her. This is episode 4, and we don't get Toph. And so to me, I was like, oh, what are we doing here? Like, I feel like there's other ways of separating Aang so he can have his own growth arc separate from Sokka and Katara, and we could have just stuck to the source material. Boomy was such a funny character. Like, the Earth Nation truly has the funniest and ironically, down to earth characters, you know? And so like Toph, the cabbage merchant, everybody in the Earth Nation, and Boomy, he's funny, he's lighthearted, and this just keeps like the narrative. They're not beating the allegations of them taking away that childhood pure innocent, the innocence that Avatar has. So I was really sad to see that. Just it's so serious, so very serious. And yeah, congrats to Avatar to season 2 and 3. That's amazing. What's really funny actually is I don't know if anybody here knows what the story with Legend of Korra is. So Legend of Korra is the second set of Avatar. So it's like the when the Avatar passes on. And her situation with her series is that every single time the creators went to go make the season, they always expected it to be the last season. So they always were ending it at the end. Like the story wraps up within the whatever 8 to 10 episodes that season is. So season one of Katara, not Katara, sorry, Korra, season one of Korra is like it just wraps up. And then season two comes in a completely different tangent. And then season three, and then so forth. And so it's funny because I feel like Netflix is kind of doing the same thing that the creators ran into with Korra. So we'll see how they go about it. But I'm hoping that they did expect there to be a season 2 and 3. We still have so much to cover. So I'm remaining optimistic. Sorry for the very long-winded. I was ready to talk today. So, but I'm done now.
I do have to agree with you. I think Netflix and them creating this thought that they may not have just renewed it. I mean, obviously you're going to bring back all the Avatar fans that are us right now. So you were going to get the numbers. It just seems like they, especially with the original creators pulling out of it, they're just trying to like pull at straws to like do something different, especially like, and I don't think I mentioned this in the last episode, the cabbage guy, like my cabbages guy, they just kind of like pulled that string through that whole entire episode for no reason. And I feel like that's what they're trying to do with this whole series, and it's just kind of getting irking my nerves at this point.
It's almost like they're trying to like hook, line, and sink us with like little tidbits, and we're like, oh, great, but this, right? Like, but the overall, right? And I definitely agree with that. Let's go to Ada. Ada, what did you think about episode four?
It was okay. I really enjoyed, well, I'm gonna give you the perspective of someone that's watched the cartoon, and I'm gonna give you the perspective of someone if they had not ever seen Avatar, the animated series. So from my perspective of actually seeing the animated series, it was interesting how they just immediately jumped into Umashu. Like they did a lot of jumping back and forth with certain episodes. Like they should have done the Spirit Realm first and then go to Umashu. Because there would have been a lot of content to cover if they had gone to the Spirit Realm first, and then Omashu, which would probably build up and going into what season two, where you would go ahead and see more of the Earth Kingdom and eventually Toph, and which is my favorite as well. Content for story plot for episode four was not bad. I really like Boomy. I like the person that they picked to portray Boomy. It was pretty spot on. I just wish he was a little bit more comical because he just seemed like a really sour old man at times. And that's not how I remember Boomy at all. But if you were to go and try to take it from the perspective of someone that has never seen Avatar: The Last Airbender and they're watching this for the first time, I can see that they're trying to go ahead and build that certain realm for somebody. Like they're story building. For them, they're basically establishing foundation for the whole premise of the whole story within these first what 8 episodes, so that whoever doesn't or is not like familiar with it, they can get a better understanding as to who they are, what's going on, and knowing that okay, there's a mission for Aang to become the Avatar. The Fire Nation are bad people. You have the Water Tribe that are helping them out. And so on and so forth.
I mean, I think there. Hold on, I had a thought and it left me. I think there's some pros and cons to introducing latter stuff that happens in Avatar into these sort of like first eight episodes. And I feel like most of them are cons because for us, we're like that didn't happen, right? Like that's not supposed to happen until later, right? And especially in the next episode, which we're going to talk about, and I guess we can transition into that. You're right. Like we need to get an introduction into the spirit realm before we even go to Umashu, before we even get introduced to all of that. And one of the critiques that I know that I saw sort of just glancing on Twitter and Instagram is that like by the end of this whole entire first season, Aang still hasn't learned water bending. And like he sort of has learned a bit of it like before the end of the first season, right? And so because the entire first book is called Water, and he learns how to water bend from Katara, from so we haven't even seen that yet. We haven't even seen like the attempt for Aang to do that. And so as we transition over into episode five, which is called Spirited Away, this personally was my least favorite episode in the entire series. I literally, I think I told you, Eric, or Steph, like producer Steph, I told her, I was like, I stopped watching it halfway and I couldn't watch the rest of it until I got over all of that like shit that I was like dealing with watching it. So in the beginning, we see Aang, Katara, and Sokka basically land in an area where the Fire Nation has just completely ravaged nature. And everything is burned down, and Aang basically says that, like, the spirits are at unrest, like nature's at an unrest, and this is my fault. I need to be the bridge between all this. They go to a village where basically they learn that their people are being taken by a spirit in the spirit realm, and they are sort of like tasked without being said that they need to go and rescue them. So basically, they go to a sacred grove where we learn about Heibei, who is one of my favorite like spirit characters in the entire like Avatar universe, but is introduced in a way that I wasn't necessarily like comfortable with. And so basically Aang goes into Avatar mode and basically takes Katara and Sokka with him, which didn't happen in the cartoon. Like it was a complete journey that Aang had to take by himself. So already I'm pissed off. Right? Like already I'm like, oh God. So then we see sort of the spiritual journey between Aang, Sokka, and Katara in very different aspects of it, right? I think it's very important to point out that Sokka's experience sort of gave way to a white, like nine-tailed fox. So that'll be something that we get into in the next iteration of our wonderful little like Friday night Avatar thing. So please keep that in mind. But basically, what they do is they wrestle with their demons and they wrestle with their past, right? Aang goes into the spirit realm. This is the ultimate thing that made me turn the episode off. He encounters Wong Shitong, and it's not in the library. And that's what pissed me off. And the minute he started talking, I turned the thing off and I was like, no, I'm not watching this. This is terrible. And Wong Shitong is introduced in the second season when we have Toph in the party, right? Because we see, like Toph stays up with Appa, right? And then that's that whole like we lose Appa and like we it's just this whole like downward spiral of Aang. So that was something that pissed me off in this episode. Anyway, Wong Shitong tells him some advice that he needs to use in order to get to where he needs to go. The second thing that pissed me off was he encountered Ko in the spirit world. And Ko isn't introduced to us until the water, until he is told by, I think it's Avatar Roku, that he needs to go to Ko to talk to him about the spirit of the ocean and the spirit of the moon for the waterbending tribe. That wasn't even introduced. Apparently, Ko is like this like predatory spirit that takes people and traps them in their like Lord of the Rings Shelob like fucking like webs and all that shit, and has apparently trapped Sokka and Katara. So in order for him to save Sokka and Katara, he has to find what Ko has lost, right? And so basically, as he's in the spirit realm, runs into a monk Gyatso, who was his former mentor in this in the airbending tribe, who basically gives him advice and says, you need to do this. And monk Gyatso is like, yeah, you can see me again. And he's like, okay, well, I'll return. Basically, in this episode, he comes out and then he has to go see Fire Lord Roku. Is it in this episode or no? Yeah, right, in episode 5. So he goes and sees Fire Lord Roku, basically gets help from the monk that knows that the Fire Nation is like not good, is like, you know, and so he talks to Fire Lord Roku. I did like this interaction for a second, and then I didn't because it wasn't the same. And so basically Fire Lord Roku says that he has this collection of shit that he amassed in his term as the Avatar, and that one of these things is what Ko needs. So basically Aang gets it. The guy that helped him basically sort of like helps to fight off the Fire Nation. Long story short, he returns the thing to Ko. All of the village's people that have been missing have been released. Sokka and Katara are released. And that's sort of like the end of this episode, which is kind of like a weird ending to what's going to happen in episode 6. That being said, let's go to you, Ada. What did you think about episode 5?
I really didn't like it either.
Yeah.
It seemed really odd. It kept me really scratching my head thinking, why would they do that? Maybe it was because they're trying to give the other actors more face time. That's why they went ahead and had Sokka and Katara join in with Aang, just so that they can get some more screen time. I would have been completely fine if they had just made it just a solely Aang episode with him trekking through the spirit realm and then, finding things out. And I think, wasn't it that they lost Sokka in the animated series and he was trying to get him back, right? So that would have been interesting to have Aang try to go ahead and retrieve Sokka, later on. But this whole episode was just, it felt like a weird filler episode. It kind of really didn't make any sense. It was entertaining, but it could have been done a lot better. I wouldn't be able to go ahead and provide how it could be better, but it just seemed that yeah, I just didn't really enjoy it all too much as like the other previous episodes, because this one just felt like it was just so mashed in, and they just put a bunch of ideas together and said, okay, we're going to use this idea, this idea, this idea. We can possibly use this, but this is going to be later on in the season, but we can go ahead and introduce it right now without any context, because people are going to be like, what is this? Who's this big birdie? I think the bird would have, I think he would have been, the owl would have been a lot better if he was introduced later on. Like they're using a lot of the CGI to go ahead and show like, hey, we can go ahead and make all of the animals of this entire, series and all this entire kingdom. That's how I felt. Like they're just trying to show everybody like, this is what we can do. This is what we can provide you without really giving much context. Just showing everybody all the glitz and glamour.
Yeah, I think I stand by my last statement in what we did in the first three episodes, where it's like if I were to show somebody like the Avatar lore, I would show them the real life thing first and then show them the cartoon because it's completely and drastically different. And I feel like me being like pissed off was the reaction that like most of the fans had when we're like, this doesn't make sense at all, like when you compare it to like the cartoon. But at the same time, like looking at it from an outside perspective, like if you didn't know Ko or if you didn't know Wan Chi Tong, like you wouldn't know. And you'd be like, oh, that's just some spirit that's just like trying to guide him through it. So, but for us that are like true fans, we're like, no, this was a shit episode. This was terrible. Like, and it was like, I mean, I turned it off halfway. I was like, this is fucking stupid. So before we move on, and I'm gonna move to Eric, Cue Ball redeemed hydrate. So everybody hydrate with your drinks. And then he also redeemed You're So Punny. Those of you that don't know what You're So Punny is, you are being charged with coming up with some type of pun that has to do with what we're talking about or something in general. So Q-Ball chose Ada as our You're So Punny person. So if you have a joke that you can come up with for Avatar, for anything, you can say it now if you want me to come back to you. And if you want to think about it, let me know.
I don't have any.
Okay,
I'm
so
not the
well,
best with jokes.
I mean, I did one
yeah.
earlier. Take mine. The Earth Kingdom are down to earth. I guess that's a bit punny, right? I think.
It is.
That is funny. Yeah. Are
You
you
know,
the
I
Fire
did.
Nation? Because you're smoking hot. I am.
I'm Water Nation because I'm very fluid. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. I don't know.
Are you Air
No,
Nation? Because I want you to. And then there you go.
blow
You figure out the
me.
rest. There, yeah. I wasn't sure if this was
We can say
18, but
that.
yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
You read my mind.
Ada, I
Great.
literally just have a thing of puns pulled up from Google, and I'll just say one of those because I'm always afraid I'm gonna get this one. So just look up puns on Google. Trust me, we had an Adele one last week, so don't say that one, but just look one up.
Gotcha.
So while Ada thinks about her pun, let's go to you, Eric. What did you think about episode 5?
So I hated this episode. This is my
Yeah.
least favorite episode. One for the fact that yes, he does go into the spirit world, but Sokka's already there because he gets taken by the spirit, like everybody in the town. Katara doesn't go. Katara and Sokka don't have this like tragic, like coming to life thing in the episode. They're bringing elements into this that didn't happen. No face, like you're not supposed to show emotion when you meet him, so you don't get killed, the spirit. And Aang was like smiling and everything. Like it didn't happen. Something that when you were explaining your talking about this, Jordan, is what I just realized about this series and the original animated series. To me, this series seems like the SparkNotes version of Avatar. You're getting the gist of it, and you can pass the test, and people will be sufficient and happy with it, but it's not as well as we wanted it. Like, just read the source material if that's what you want. This was my least favorite episode. They did too much, or they tried to do too much, and it was just a letdown. Because, I mean, when we meet him later on in the library, that's when Toph and Aang learn how to freaking sand bend. And like there's so much they did in this episode that just disappointed me.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. This was my least favorite episode in the entire series. And then Jasmine, oh, go ahead, go ahead.
Also, meeting Roku, that's not Roku
No.
At all.
He wasn't
Roku wasn't the
silly.
joke.
Like,
It
he
wasn't
wasn't
silly jokes
silly
or
like
nothing.
that. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I
That
mean,
doesn't happen.
I do remember Roku being like a pivotal avatar. Like, I remember him being like, hello, Aang, blah, 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 blah. And then you learn about like Roku's past with Sozin or Sozin. Like, that was probably like one of the best episodes where like they were friends and then they weren't. And then we sort of like learn about, and so the way that this Roku is portrayed, I was like, are you like Iroh, but like the avatar, like it was just very confusing. And then it was just the advice that he gave Aang was not parallel to like what what the animated series like did. So Jasmine, let's go to you. What did you think about episode 5?
I'm not a fan either because they took all the really big story arcs that we saw the most amount of growth in and they jumbled it all together. And I feel like that just was, it was a bit disrespectful because each one of those pieces, right? So like the spirit world and Aang in it is for his own growth. I don't know. Nobody but the Avatar can enter the spirit world. It's kind of like the rule, right? So only Korra did, and then, or somebody else that's special, where you have to be very special. And so that's one aspect of it. The owl. I think I specifically talked about this before. So that's another season two thing because Toph was with them and she felt really bad. She felt shitty because she couldn't see anywhere because it was all sand. And so it was difficult for her to see things as much or as well, or I forgot something like that, but I remember Toph being there and I remember the hardest episode for me to watch is when they kidnap Appa. And that's when that's this episode that happened. So they cut off both of those things. So we don't have Toph and we're speeding and taking pieces from season two that integral characters were a part of. So it was a mess. And then one of the funniest things ever with Sokka, with him and his cactus juice, that was also part of that episode. So I'm just like, what are we doing? Because that was when they were on the way to Ba Sing Se, and we're nowhere near that. So it is just insane to me that we've like, because that was the journey. That's why they were there. That's what they were doing things for. So that, and then Ko, I liked Ko's character just because it was voiced by George Sakai, and I thought that was pretty cool. Like they had the part, and it was special. But we need to discuss Azula and Ozai. And I thought I saw something, and other people are thinking they saw something in this episode. And so first of all, we really see where her like intense like jealousy, competitive spirit comes from. It's her dad, very toxic parenting, and her dad put her in her place, which was actually really funny. I laughed. Daniel Dae Kim, perfect Ozai. So it's funny how he puts Azula in her place, and you could see like that rage coming up from within her. And then I think I saw like Azula's like a little bit of a blue flame, which she is known to have the different color flames, or lightning. She like ends up striking lightning too. And so I thought I saw that, and I looked online and I was like, other people were talking about that too, so I don't think I'm crazy, but I love Azula in terms of she's one of the most powerful characters in terms of seeing her arc and growth, and I really like her as a character. So I'm happy to get Azula, and I'm happy also for June, which is she's a bombshell. She's awesome. And so I think she was in this episode, right? June? Yeah. I think she's dope. I love her, and I love her interactions and her repertoire with Iroh and Zuko. So I like that a lot too. We got some badass women in this episode.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that, and thank you for pointing that out. We sort of get to see how Azula can experience lightning and can do that to impress, right? Like, but y what I like it so what I like about one of the things that I like about this entire series is that we sort of see Fire Lord Ozai like as a person, because generally in like the animated series, he's just sort of this like background person that's just like mysterious, and then we don't generally like we hear his voice, but we don't generally get to see him. And I kind of like that we see Daniel Dae Kim being this Fire Lord Ozai and being like this like toxic part of like what who this villain is, right? Like in the entirety of this Avatar universe. So I definitely appreciate it. To me, and to like to be fair, like I would like I don't know, something about this Azula is not giving like, oh, well, this is what I'm gonna do, and Zuzu needs to do this, right? Like there's like a tone, and there's like there was like a voice thing going on with like the animated series that I'm not getting with this, and I'm like, I'm not thoroughly convinced that this is Azula. However, I do see the descent into madness happening, and I appreciate that so much,
I
like with
think it's
Azula.
missing the see you next Tuesday factor. This actress doesn't have it. She's like more tomboy, angry, proving herself than she is like, I'm that bitch. And you can't do anything about it. And everybody's beneath me. And that's a factor that I feel like she's not having. But maybe, because she's so young, maybe like in the next season, we'll see it develop. Maybe she'll really serve it and surprise us all. And I'm really hoping she does because she's so cute. And she's a huge nerd, by the way. So a bunch of them are. And so we should definitely discuss how like a lot of this casting was really like Zuko's actor literally watched Avatar and that was his inspiration. And so he already knew the moves. And Azula is already a fan as well. So it was cute. I liked it. I liked it.
The one thing that I did recognize, I don't know if any of you have ever watched Kim's Convenience on Netflix, but like when Uncle Iroh appeared, I was like, yes, I was like, absolutely. Like, bottom line, I love this fucking casting. He's hilarious. Like, he's bottom line, just fucking hilarious. So let's go into transition into episode six, which is called Masks
I
for
did want to
a.
say
Oh, yeah, go.
something. I think Azula, the actress, can do it. I like her way better than Zuko, but Daniel Dae Kim is like meant to be Avatar because he was in the original series cartoon. He was in Korra, and now he is in this. So, like, that sexy man just deserves to be in all of Avatar, no matter what
I didn't
iteration.
know that. That's amazing. Yeah, everybody's thirsting over him, so
Of
they
course,
got something done right.
he's Daniel Dae Kim. Like, I've been thirsting over him since he's been Daniel Dae Kim, which is forever. So, yeah, he's fine as hell. He's fucking like he's doing it. When he did the Agni Kai, I was like, I'm rooting for you, babe. Like, I'm all for you. Like, fuck Zuko, fuck him up, right? So as we transition into episode six, which is called Masks, we still see Aang sort of like doing that whole journey with Roku. Aang gets captured eventually by General Zhao, and then gets taken to one of the prisons that is a Fire Nation stronghold and is impenetrable. Zuko learns of this and says that he's going to infiltrate the prison. Uncle Iroh tells him basically like, no, you're not going to infiltrate that. Like, it's impossible to do that. And then I need a reminder of what's going on with Zuko and no, sorry, with Sokka and with Katara. What's going on in this episode with them? Anybody remember? No? Is it just like
Actually,
a
no, I do remember. So in the previous episode, Roku tells Aang he has to go or whatever, blah blah blah. He kind of just like leaves them, I believe. They're not really in this episode.
Yeah, that's what I feel because we sort of learn that Aang's being captured. We have that like initial interaction with General Zhao and Aang, and Aang, one of my favorite scenes is where like Aang like basically like air blows General Zhao and like knocks him over, and like we get that in this episode. But then we also get our first look and our last look at the blue spirit, which basically, spoiler alert if you haven't seen it, basically ends up being a Zuko in masked form with two broadswords that he uses to sort of like fight his way into freeing Aang because he's so dedicated to getting Aang to his dad in order for him to be redeemed. And so he disguises himself. They come up with he infiltrates it, he defeats them, and then long story short, him and Aang basically figure out a way to escape this Fire Lord or this Fire Nation stronghold, which they do, but like they don't, but they do. And so basically, we get our sort of first interaction between Aang and Zuko, where they talk about just sort of their differences and how like Zuko needs the Avatar to regain his honor, and Aang basically admits that he lost his honor and like he is trying to regain who he is as the Avatar. But they're still trying to like they're still battling each other because Zuko is so intent on capturing the Avatar in this episode. But before they escape, that's when Aang discovers that the blue spirit is Zuko when a arrow hits him in the face and like the mask gets taken off, and Aang has this moment of where he's going to leave, but then at the end of the day he rescues Zuko, and then we get that interaction with them. And then basically Zuko gets knocked out again. Aang puts him in the boat and Zuko tries to firebend him, and Aang is like, oh hell no, and then like pushes him out. And then Aang basically escapes, and Zuko basically escapes, and they sort of have a general understanding of what's going on with each other. And I feel like this is that sort of like beginning stage of their relationship and how they sort of like interact with each other. So that was sort of like the gist of what happened in episode six. What did we all think about this? Let's go to you, Jasmine. What did you think about episode six?
This one is again a combination of a few episodes. So we're getting mixtures. Admiral Zhao is one of the most interesting characters. I think he is incredibly strong. And we see more of June, who's one of my favorite characters from the anime series. So I'm gonna keep talking about her. Can we mention her name? But it was heavy on Zuko. I didn't know if we were ready for him to already show like the fact that he's a blue spirit. I feel like that was so way down the line. I was trying to remember what season it was, but I'm like, this is like we still have to establish the hatred Zuko has, you know? Like we haven't gotten to see that like crazy intensity and motivation, and we saw what we saw was is it in the same episode, which was kind of weird. You have the Agni Kai with your dad. You should be spiteful, petty, angry, like just enraged and consumed by, you know, your anger. And we didn't see that. Oh, thank you, Ada. So I didn't get to see that yet. I feel like there was a separation between like the Agni Kai. Like I feel like we got that earlier than, you know, or we started to see his rage more and then saw the blue spirit down the line. But maybe I'm wrong. Something correct me if I am, but I just wanted to see more of that. And yeah, we've really established that Fire Lord Ozai is a dick. Like he's 100% worst dad of the year. Like holy shit. So like in the last episode it was him, you know, pitting Azula against Zuko, and now this one is like, you know, like burning your kid's eye. But it was crazy. Yeah, I liked it. I liked the story progress. Wasn't like a big fan of the episode, but I mean, I like the firebending. Like the we have to give it up for the graphics. The like seriously, they are so good. Like that was like the concern with the live action movie or that shall never be named, right? So the graphics are insanely good, and I could like I'm like stunned, you know. And I just bought like a bigger TV, and I had to go up in the Netflix value to like the HD whatever streaming service that it has. It's like $22 a month. It's insane. I have to unsubscribe, but anyway, I get to see
Terrible.
it in its full glory. Worth it. Absolutely worth it. That's what I have to say about it.
Yeah, and now I've lost my thought again. It's been a week, folks. I what I oh the other th oh thank you. The other thing that I wanted to mention is that we sort of see this like degradation of like Zuko and his like ship team like throughout this sort of season, but in this episode we sort of see how. And in the next couple episodes that we're going to cover next week, we see how this relationship sort of blossoms and fosters a support for Zuko and like how that happens. And I think that's really important to like point out, right? Like where General Iroh basically is like, Zuko has sacrificed more than you'll ever know. And the fact that you were snitching to Admiral Zhao means that you're a fucking dick. Like he saved your asses and all that shit. So like that part, like I want to give credence to. But yeah, I think in this episode, you're right. Like all like this entire season is just like a mashup of like shit from like the second season and the first season, where we're like, if you know what's going on, you'd be like, what the fuck's going on? Like why is this here, right? And so I definitely agree with that. Eric, let's go to you. What did you think about episode six?
I did like the blue de or the blue spirit aspect of it because it did really get me to start liking Zuko more in this series, like his relationship with Uncle Iroh, but he wasn't giving me Zuko, and he didn't really until this episode with Aang and him trying to save him. Overall, the episode was okay, nothing to write home about. But what did kind of annoy me was Nyla. Is she was never on Fire Island. She never captured him. Like her initial job was to go find Uncle Iroh. And then later on they had her go after Aang. So like they changed her whole entire story arc. And what I forgot to mention the previous episode is the fact that Aang left the island to go to Fire, or left them in the spirit world to go to Fire Island to figure out something to go back and then get them out. He never did that. He saved them in the cartoon and then left by himself to go to Fire Island. So they're making Aang to me seem a little bit more like selfish in an aspect, and I don't like that. He was never selfish. Like you obviously see at the end of this episode where him and Zuko are trying to get out and they're doing the whole stilt walking thing, which I'm glad they brought the stilt walking thing into it, and like the little like aspect of him at the end. But it's not my least favorite episode, but they did it.
Yay. Right? Yeah. Like there were so many things about this episode where I was just like there needed to be more of an explanation, and I definitely agree. There needed to be more of an expanse on like what was going on. But I feel like the main goal was to get Aang out of that prison, and then that was it. Like there was nothing else that needed to be added in this episode, but they tried to throw in a bunch of shit to like make us be like, oh, character development. And we're like, no, that's not really that, right? Ada, let's go to you. What did you think about episode six?
I wish they had really developed like a background for the blue spirit, because what I remember from the animated episode is that you had a bunch of the people that are at that fort, talking about blue spirit, right? And for some reason in the live action, he just like pops out of nowhere with this really cool mask. I'll give him to that. He had a really cool mask. I really like how they made the mask, but there was like really no lead up as to this whole era about the blue spirit. He just like showed up. Everyone's like, ooh, he's here. He's trying to get the avatar out. And that was it. There was no mystery to it. And then I really wish that there was more conversation with June, and was it June? June trying to find Iroh. Right? Like there was more of that banter back and forth where she's trying to get Iroh. And then of course Iroh totally pining over June. I wish there was more of Iroh, in this type of like setting where you get to see more of his character development rather than just being just the, the very supportive uncle. Like you needed to see who he was, as as a former general.
Yeah, I missed the episode, or I missed seeing the episode play out where basically June and Team Avatar fight, and basically Katara uses waterbending, the perfume, to like confuse the sniffer monster. I don't know what it's called. And basically like it attacks June, and then that's how they sort of like get away from her. And like we didn't see that. We just saw like a, oh yeah, this is what I do, and I'm a sexy lady, and hey Uncle Iroh, you're cute, bye. And that's all we got. And I was like, what the fuck, like that's nothing, like that's nothing that we got from this character. I will say she did look good. She did look convincing and she did look good, and I liked it. But yeah, there was no sort of like follow-up, no sort of like, oh, I found the avatar, bye
Felt
everyone.
very wasted, right?
It felt very like, hey, we're just going to use her for this and then that's it, and then who knows if we're going to see her in seasons two and three. So I'm not completely disappointed, but at the same time I'm like, this could have been so much more, like for this episode and especially for these past three. So as we reach the end of our broadcast, I just want to ask any final thoughts about episodes four through six. For me, episode four was my favorite. Episode five was my least favorite of the entirety of the series. And episode six was sort of like a, it was a weird in between for me, in regards to that. So any last minute thoughts, Eric?
Like I said, I think these last couple of episodes have proven to me that the series, like I said, is the SparkNotes version of Avatar. Not that I dislike it, I just hope now that they've especially gotten renewed for season 2 and 3, that they go and listen to all the fans who are posting on social media and everything like that. Like this, we're okay with it, but you need to do more justice to the actual series. Not do what One Piece did, because people were also very upset about that, but give us more of the fun and the joy and not so much condensing. Also want to mention that Cue Ball did ask what animated series we would like to see in the chat. And one of mine, Q, is Food Wars, because I absolutely love that. And I think they could do a great live action to that. And it would be freaking hilarious. But yeah, overall, the episodes are what they are. Kind of disappointing, but still going along with it.
Sure. Any last minute thoughts, Jasmine? Oh. Animated series that I'd like to see. Oh, that's interesting. Maybe Invincible. I think that would be a good thing. Or what's the other one before it? Anyway, I know we have The Boys and I know we have all that, but like just any sort of like superhero, but adult superhero sort of like cartoon is always my favorite. I'm like, I just want to see a real life version of this shit. It'd be great. But Jasmine, what did you think about like any last minute thoughts about episodes 4 through 6?
Yeah, I feel like they're try they're speeding. I feel like, you know what it feels like if you watched the entire series, the animated series, and then you went back and said, okay, recall the series for me. And you just watched it once. I think that's what it feels like. It feels like it's not being very they're being a bit disgenuine towards the show. I could see like the beginning we were doing pretty well, and I could see like, I don't know, is this when the creators walked off set? Because it
Yeah.
feels like at this point they did. Like you mashed so much stuff together, but you're grabbing pieces and it doesn't really make much sense why you did the order you did. And a lot of missed moments. Like there's a lot of times where I'm watching something, I was like, ah, that would have been a good, like, perfect moment for Sokka to have like a quick quip back, you know, or something else. So I just feel like it's not, yeah, it's losing its charm, but I'm still watching because I'm a fan and I want to see what they're gonna do. But and I'm really hoping now that they're renewed for both the next seasons that they are going to maybe slow down a little bit, and give us, because if they speed through Toph, I am gonna be mad. We are revolting.
I agree.
Yeah, she is way too much of a treasure. She shows up in Korra. She's an integral character out of all the original gang. Sorry, spoiler if they ever do Korra, but she, if they ever were to do her Korra, out of the four or five original group members, Zuko, Aang, Katara, Sokka, and Toph, Toph is the most prominent. And we get a lot of the Earth Nation and in the future, metal bending nation. So I am absolutely stoked if they decide to go that route. But yeah, so I'm now we only have 2 episodes left, right? 7 and 8. So I'm cautiously like I'm like awaiting, but it's not like when I turn on the episode, I'm like, oh God, what's next? What did they do? You know? But I tried to lower my expectations so I could enjoy the show because everybody did work so hard. A series that's animated that I would like to see live action, is that's a question, right? To be clear, a
Yes.
live action animated series. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Wow. Interesting question. I had it in my head and then I forgot it, but I think like superhero shows would be interesting to watch, like TV shows. I think if we just got something, I mean, listen, you know what my number one answer is going to be right now? I don't know how it would work, and the movies were okay. Live action movie, I don't know, but Dragon Ball, just because we lost Akira Toriyama last night, so or we found out about it last night, but he passed away a week ago. So I would love to see like a Dragon Ball dedication, even if it's like a quick movie, something fun. I think it'd be cool if we got something like that. But if it wasn't outside of that, I have no idea. That's a great question. Korra, The Legend of Korra. How about
Yeah.
that? There you go.
No, like that was my go-to. I was like, fuck, if they do a Legend of Korra, that would be amazing. It would be
Honestly, between the
absolutely amazing.
two, I would have actually preferred Korra. Korra has far more mature themes, you
Yep.
know? So I feel like Korra would have been a better fit for Netflix to make a live action of.
I agree. The other one too, and like this is just selfish, like millennial shit, but like I don't know how they would do it, but like maybe Rugrats or maybe like a Wild Thornberrys, like live action series, because that was just an extensive part of like my growing up. And it was like fucking like Tim Curry in Australia, right? Like you have Donnie, you have the mom. Like it could be such an amazing thing, and the cast could be like exponential and like, you know, exploring and then learning that like she can speak to Anne. I don't know. I just think it would be really awesome. Anyway, Ada, let's go to you. Any last minute thoughts about episodes 4 to 6?
I think my thoughts and views are exactly the same like everybody else. It's just everything's just kind of mashed up together. I just want to see a little bit more lightheartedness, them being kids, because right now they're just so serious. Like, I want them to have fun, like they're kids on an adventure. Right? They're not supposed to be super serious. We're on a mission. We got to do this right now. They're going to want to go and explore and see things, see things from like a teenager's perspective, which are, they all practically are except for Aang. That's my take on it. And then my series I would like to see, I actually would like to see Powerpuff Girls.
Oh, that'd be
I
so
want to
much
see
fun.
Mojo Jojo. I just want to see
There
it.
was
You know
supposed
that
to
was a
be
thing, right? Really?
Yeah, they canceled it.
Yeah, the script got leaked, and I'm so sorry, Ada, but it was, oh, it was bad. It was bad. So if you Google the script, you'll find it, and I promise you won't believe your eyes unless you should get it from like Reddit or some reliable source. But yeah, I ooh, it was interesting.
Well, then my backup would be Haikyuu. I really loved Haikyuu.
Yes.
So.
Okay, Powerpuff Girls, him, period. Drag queen,
Yeah,
period.
total.
That would be great.
Total.
Yeah, or the other one too that I would love to see like turn into a series is Courage the Cowardly Dog, like and actually like do the fucking monsters in like real life. That'd be just freaking amazing. I would love that. Anyway, as we progress, that's all the time we have today to talk about episodes 4 through 6 of Avatar: The Last Airbender on Netflix. Thank you so much to my guests tonight, Ada, Eric, and Jasmine. Thank you for showing up, for being true troopers, for giving us your honest opinions about everything, because we love that. Ada, where can we find you on the socials?
Can only find me on Instagram because that's the one I'm usually on. So find me at Bad Lil Emmy, BadLilEmy. Yeah, that's where you can find me.
We love that. And Jasmine, where can we find you on the socials?
Jasmine Josar and everything. No E in Jasmine and everything, unfortunately. And fortunately.
You're like every single platform on the
Every
planet.
social media platform, way too many.
I love it. And Eric, where can we find you?
You can find me on all socials at Heartless7. That's HARTL, the letter 3SS7 on everything except for the X app.
I refuse to call it that. It's still Twitter to me. But I get it. If you can find me on Instagram, City of Stars 13. I don't post a lot, but I post some funny stories sometimes. So please follow. Follow my wonderful and amazing people that are here tonight. Please, thank you for tuning in again. Be sure to join our Discord to keep the conversation going, as well as subscribing to all platforms at Nom Talk Network. That includes Instagram, YouTube, all the above. For that, tune into our next show, which is going to be Captain America: The Winter Soldier on Monday. But until then, I'm your horse. Horse? I am your
Horse.
host. Wow. I'm not a horse or a horse. I'm your host, Jordan, and I hope you all have a nomorific evening. Take care.